Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today in Real Ghost Stories Online, did the spirit of a deceased loved one take over a radio in hopes of delivering a message to the living? That's the question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Then it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you love the show, you want to keep us on the air, become a supporter of the show, an EPP as we call them, go to ghostpodcast.com, sign up to be one of those, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Same content in both places. Get all the bonus episodes, more than 300 bonus episodes to binge away on, with our best ghost stories. Even if you're sitting there binging away right now on the free stuff, trust me, it is worth to become an EPP before you get through all that, so you can get in on some of those EPP episodes, because they have some of the best stuff we got on them. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Also, you get our ebook, our audiobook, lots of extras there, video stuff. It's all at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm feeling like I'm going to sneeze, but I'm just kind of rubbing my head as I talk to try and prevent that from happening.
I'm sorry.
I think I got some Kleenexes in my pocket.
You should check the back of your chair.
Well, here's the deal.
Because where the seat of your chair and the back of your chair meet, there's usually a pile.
Well, there's a couple. Yeah. It's a small supply today. You see, here's what happened. I knew you were coming into the office, so I thought I'm going to clean up my nest so I don't look like Big Bird, homeless Big Bird over here. that hoards used tissues, because that's kind of what it looks like, because I have them at my side all day. I've always done, like, since I was a kid, I think it's an Aspie thing, I don't know.
Yeah.
Where it's just like
it's a comfort thing.
It is, because I've always had when I was a kid, I would fold up two Kleenexes in each pocket. Mm-hmm. During non-allergy season. During allergy season, there was four folded Kleenexes per pocket, like loaded, locked and loaded, because you need it.
And always the exact same number?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you have enough, you know what you have. Mm-hmm. And then if you're running low, you know you can go and get more. And I guess, like, as I've become an adult and I wasn't going to elementary school anymore, folding Kleenexes in my pocket. I think I did it into adulthood, too, for work for a while. But now I just come in here, but I just set them down in my chair. And then they end up on the floor, and it's a mess, and it looks horrible.
Well, and I'm not surprised, because you do the same thing at night, mm-hmm. but you put them under your pillow.
Yeah. And then that turns into a nest there too.
And then in the morning when I, go to clean up, the room, the make the bed and everything. There's a nest that has fallen.
My mother always tried to scare me with the it's not a rumor, it could happen, with the threat of silverfish.
Ew.
I guess it's like a type of bug that breathes out of paper or something.
Oh.
And if it sits there long enough, you'll get silverfish. And it sounds horrible. I don't even know what they're probably really bad if you have to deal with it, if I don't want that. But I don't know. It's a hard habit to break, well, as Peter Cetera would say.
You have a whole trash can under your side of the bed full of that. Now I'm going to be worried about silverfish.
So it's a hard habit to break.
There may be some habits altered.
I'll tell you what, during the next story, do you have your phone with you?
No, it's dead. I've got to charge it.
I was going to say, we'll find out about silverfish.
I'm not going to Google bugs right now.
Why are you not going to Google bugs right now?
Because they give me the heebie-jeebies. Yeah. I don't want to Google bugs ever, but especially now. Don't Google it. You're Googling silverfish. Stop it.
I don't know where they come from or where they go to. I don't know. It looks like they eat paper.
Yeah.
Like they find them in books, pages in a book damaged by silverfish that consume portions of it. So I don't know. It was probably just like a scare the shit out of Tony thing and it didn't really work. I don't know that they come out of tissues. I've never seen one. And I should know for all the piles of tissues that I have. Anyway, my point was you were coming in here, so I threw a ton of them away.
I appreciate that.
To make it look clean and as if your husband doesn't, you know, fall asleep on the chair in here and like never leave the room, because that's what it kind of looks like.
I appreciate that. But thank you for taking time to clean your office so I could come in and do the shows with you.
Now if I could just find the Wi-Fi point, that's the unsolved mystery we can talk about later in the show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm gonna fucking call Robert Stack about this shit pretty soon because
he's dead.
Well I'm gonna Ouija him.
He's dead.
I'm gonna Ouija Robert Stack. That sounds horrible. I'm going to Ouija Robert Stack.
Don't say that ever again.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter. It says, the second time we heard from my murdered brother was obvious. As I mentioned in my last story, he was killed and his son Adam was in our custody with his adoption pending. I also referred to a physically sensitive aunt. I'll call her Nay. Again, bizarre but true, my uncle, Nay's husband, had won the lottery. Anyway, even when my only role was to be auntie to Adam, deep down, I always wanted to be his mom. I felt so much guilt from the dark circumstances that brought me to now being his parent. I confided in Nay and asked her, I wish I knew if my deceased brother approved of my husband Bob and I adopting Dame carried her new lottery status as well. I felt as if I could have been speaking to actress Lauren Bacall. I really respected her. She told me to blatantly ask Rick, then to really pay attention. Paying attention can be hard for my personality, who even thought, though I'm open, I am OCD and always in a hurry, making sure everything gets done. I asked Rick out loud, are you happy Bob and I have Adam? Nothing happened at that moment, and life carried on. That Sunday, we made a family day trip to see ice sculptures at the world-renowned mountain village Lake Louise. It was a beautifully perfect day, from the sunshine and blue sky to interesting sculptures, but mostly in that Bob and I were really enjoying Adam. He was our most beautiful boy, with sweet-toned voice, gentle demeanor, was easily engaging with his inquisitive, age-appropriate questions, and in spite of his now tarnished past, still presented with the innocence that a 9-year-old should have. Thank goodness. Our perfect day rounded out to supper at Adam's favorite restaurant, an old spaghetti factory, in the trendy mountain town of Banff. I was on cloud 9, but I could not completely let go and enjoy the day for what it was. My thoughts were that I wished my brother could have been alive and that we all should have been enjoying this day together. I also thought that I doubt Rick had family days like this ever. The marriage to his imprisoned wife was frequently in turmoil. Anyway, Bob, Adam, and I had just returned home. 4 days, I had not given any further thought to the question to my brother. After we entered the house, Bob was in the restroom, and Adam and I were putting our day's packs away in our bedroom. Then it happened. My portable stereo started blasting. It was so loud it was alarming. I raced out of my bedroom to the living room to shut it off, expecting to have words with Bob or Adam as to either one of them thinking and what they were thinking and turning it up. When I got to the living room to shut it off, no one was there. Kyle came out of his bedroom looking at me puzzled, and Bob, as men often are, was still in the bathroom. Kyle and I were both stunned, in a pause, staring at each other. I asked him, "Did you turn that on?" He said, "No, I thought you turned it on." I said, "No," and yelled to Bob, who was still in the bathroom, "Did you turn it on?" He said, "No, I've been in here." I knelt and examined the music. One would have had to have pushed power, CD, play, and turned the volume way up for it to come on like that. I was confused. But later that night, when I was lying in bed, it came to me. Rick answered my question. He was happy his son was with Bob and I. I'm smiling and feeling a moment of contentment. Little did I know that this would not be the only time I'd hear from my ghost brother through the stereo.
I think signs are so important. And, you know, sometimes they don't make sense to anyone but you. Mm-hmm. And you're not necessarily looking for it. In this case, they were. But even if you're not, sometimes you just get a sign and it just tells you something's right or something is wrong. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I think that was the sign that this was okay.
Yeah, that he was looking for. Mm-hmm. And that they were looking for to have. I'd be curious what the other signs were that all kind of add up to go like, oh, this is, seems to be what he uses.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes your spirit's like that, where you can have every device available, but they kind of find their favorite. They stick with it. They work with it. Mm-hmm. And they know how to use it. And then that's what you kind of have as your yes and no.
Do you believe in signs?
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, I do.
I make a lot of decisions based on signs.
Like stop? Stop and go lights?
No, I just mean...
I know.
You know, like we've talked about on the show before, I mm-hmm. there's just sometimes things that's like, this just is meant to be.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had some over the weekend when we were looking at horses.
We were looking...
Or cows, rather.
Cattle.
Cattle.
Looking at cattle this weekend.
We were looking at four-legged large animals, and I wasn't wearing my glasses. I thought they could have been horses or cows or large goats. I really wasn't sure. Cattle.
Yes.
Yeah, because the lady made a reference to Vindicator.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like... and well, then you pointed at a cow and took it into our car and didn't speak to her. She's like, "What is she doing?" I said, "Here's the money. Let her be."
That's not how it happened. Okay. And Vindicator is a Hereford from a movie from 1966 called The Rare Breed. And when I saw that movie, that's when I first fell in love with Hereford cows.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted, if I ever had the chance to have a farm and have cattle, I wanted a Hereford named Vindicator. And that happened this weekend. We found a 3-month-old bull who we're going to actually make into a steer so that he can not reproduce with the other heifer that we got, because we don't want to reproduce right now. Mm-hmm. We want to, you know, just have them here as pets basically to love on and live happily ever after.
Yeah. But
anyway, I had always known this, and it's a very obscure movie. Not many people have heard of it, know of it, or anything. It doesn't surprise me, being that she's in the Hereford business, that she knew of the movie, but she said that they had had a grandson who had one that was a pet named Vindicator, and it was just like, that's my sign. But I also saw this tiny little bull walking our way all by himself,
mm-hmm.
and he was the cutest thing I ever saw, and I was like, that's my one.
And that's when she ran out to the field. Grabbed it.
No.
Pulled it into the car, into the back of the truck, got him up there.
No.
And he's like, stop, don't do it. Like, then I'm like, here's your money. We're going to take the cow. And then we sped away.
And the day before, we bought a little heifer who's the same age, who's 3 months old. Mm-hmm. And they're both light red, which most people who are in the Hereford business want the mm-hmm. really dark red. I personally like the light red. So the light red ones are, I guess they're more rare because mm-hmm. most of them are dark, but people don't want them. I want them. So we got a light red female and a light red male, and they'll come to the farm in September after they've been weaned.
And they'll be very happy.
Yeah, because they're going to be spoiled. They're going to get treats. They're going to get love.
They're not going to be meat.
No, they're not. And, you know, we're going to leave the option open to breed Poppy when she's of age, maybe. Mm-hmm. But they're just here to live happily ever after with us. Mm-hmm.
So you'll see lots of pictures of cows.
Oh, yeah.
You've already seen some because we posted some, but when they're here, it'll be like, here's today's cow picture. Yeah.
Yeah. So
anyway, they're fun. I'm looking forward to them.
Yeah, they're miniature Herefords, so they're not full size. So they're not giant cows. They're about 3 feet tall, but they're still pretty hefty.
They're like that horse that you were telling me about. That was, what was the mini horse?
The mini
Thumbelina.
No, they're not like Thumbelina at all.
That'd be cool.
They sit on Thumbelina and kill Thumbelina.
Yeah. That was fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to the next one. It says, I have a few stories to tell. Not all of them involve ghosts, as this one does. I chose to start with this story because it's kind of sweet, and I think it will be appreciated considering today's situation. I'd also like to note that when it comes to the supernatural, I remain skeptical. I just had started a new job as the assistant manager of a shoe store. It's a large and airy building located in a busy strip mall. A few weeks into starting the job, my grandmother died. We were not close, as my family was not completely fond of the way she treated my father. She also lived extremely far away from my whole family, and I only ever saw her infrequently. It is safe to say that I never really got the proper chance to know her and was not saddened by her death. I attended her funeral the next week and then immediately resumed working. With the stress of learning how to be second in command of a retail store, I forgot about my grandmother entirely. That's until I saw her, or at least I think I did. I was at work on my hands and knees, agonizing over the merchandise of our latest shipment. Due to the size of our store and the thousands of products we had lining our shelves, merchandising is an extremely big deal, and being new, I felt that I could not afford to make a mistake. So, as I was shuffling shoes around and for the most part totally ignoring my surroundings, I saw the shape of a woman out of the corner of my eye. I did not think anything of it because she was sitting on one of our benches. In that split second where I saw her and decided to ignore her, reasoning that she was simply one of our customers trying on shoes, I noticed she was wearing my grandmother's favorite flower embroidered sweater. Not only that, but she was also wearing her black and white vertical striped pants that I had never seen anywhere else. She had the correct bob haircut and she was grinning at me. And the next second where I started to freak out a bit because I recognized her, I saw it was my grandmother. She was lounging on a nearby bench and smiling while watching me work. Then I looked away for a moment, and she was gone. The whole encounter probably took about 4 seconds. The first where I noticed her, the next where I realized who she was, then when I looked at her, and finally when she disappeared. When I got home, I told my parents, and they did not confirm or deny that I saw anything. I could swear that I saw her. And I think it makes sense that I did for two reasons. One being the logical explanation and the other being the more supernatural related. Logically, it's safe to assume that she was on my mind even if I did not realize it. Her being in my subconscious could lead to me thinking I saw her when in actuality I might have seen her either because part of me wanted to or perhaps because I hallucinated from being tired and stressed. The supernatural explanation would be that I did not get to talk to her about my job or what I was really doing at it before she died. Possible she was curious and probably wondering how it compared to the parochial schoolgirl uniform shop she and my grandfather used to run together. Either way, I know what I think I saw, but I'll never know if it was anything. Thanks for reading my story and putting it out there. I really appreciate it.
I bet it's more so she's kind of not really enjoying, but, you know, appreciating the fact that you're doing work like she used to do when they ran a store. And they had to, you know, put merchandise out and things like that. It was probably kind of special for her to come back and to see you doing that. And I'm sure she didn't want to scare you, but just blending in like a customer, you know. But I think that's a neat story.
I would just come up and ask for something really obscure.
If you were a dead grandpa?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm looking for a full pallet and then something really weird. Of the grape flavored Metamucil, but I want like the whole palette, the one up there on that on top of the shelf.
And you would do this to your grandchild at work?
Probably.
Yeah, I bet. I bet you would.
I don't know. Something funny. Something like what? You want what? I don't know. Do they make grape flavored Metamucil?
I have no idea.
I've never had Metamucil.
I've never had to deal with that.
I see the commercials all the time. It looks delicious.
Mm.
And they have the graphic of it like flowing through your body and like clearing shit out. And
I tell you what.
It's like, fuck, Popeyes does that for me.
I was just about to say, one trip to Popeyes and I'm good for a while.
Who needs Metamucil when you got spicy chicken sandwiches?
And I freaking love those sandwiches.
I know.
But my God, it's pain and suffering.
where we're at now, I shouldn't say very little delivers, because hell of a lot more delivers than used to deliver into the country. But Popeyes is one of them through Grubhub.
And we're in the boonies. Yeah. So, yeah.
But it's like there's a Popeyes kind of like on the edge of town. And so the other night we're like, it was just later. We didn't feel like cooking. It's like, what should we get? It's like, well, Popeyes, we can get that from the Grubhub. So we did. And I love it. It's delicious. I love their spicy chicken. It's fucking great. But
and they did not ask us to promote.
No, this is not an ad.
No.
And it's not being paid for. But I'll send you an invoice.
Because I'm sure they would appreciate the fact that we explained what happens after we eat it.
This is probably where it would not qualify as the advertisement.
No.
Yeah. It's like, don't talk about bowel movements and our food in the same sentence. Because like, I literally, when we do ads, live reads is what they're called, and we're reading them, there's like a whole list of shit on the bottom of the thing that says, don't say this. And it's usually like, don't compare it to like competitors and things of that nature. Don't bring up competitors by name. That's usually the main one. But, and I don't, but this is obviously not an ad, so I can say whatever the fuck I want. But, oh my God, 3 days.
You ate it for 3 days. You ate leftovers for three days.
Because I got like a 16-piece chicken.
So that is on you.
It's like, that's more than one chicken, isn't it? When you order a 16-piece chicken?
I don't know.
Or they just find creative ways of cutting the chicken.
No,
like, this chicken has 8 legs.
That's more than one chicken. So you ate more than one. You ate a flock of Popeyes.
I ate a flock. Or it's one of the Franken chickens that like grew up next to like Chernobyl. It's like it happens to have 7 legs.
No.
Love that chicken. Yeah. Anyway. It was delicious. And it haunted me for days. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, hopefully. This is Tom. I had called a couple times a few months ago, and you played both my stories this week, which I'm really grateful for. I mean, this is a great outlet for me, because you'd be surprised how many people you approach with these stories. You play the stories for them, they listen, and 9 out of 10 of them blow you off like there's got to be another explanation, or you faked it or something like that. So it's great to have an outlet where people are listening that are interested, and, you know, they're not out to derail it, you know. But anyway, I'm going to get to this graveyard story that I mentioned. Right now I'm down in Outer Banks on my first week of vacation. I got a brand new RV that I just parked, and I'm waiting for the internet guy to come, so I thought it was a great time to call you. One thing I wanted to clarify on the last story about the, or not clarify, but just to add to the story, about the haunted private school. My daughter, who is really into my stuff, my older daughter, my younger daughter, she's kind of into it, but she's a little more on the fence. My older daughter goes right along with it and, loves to go with me sometimes when I do an EVP session. But she did some research after I told her that story about the school, and found out that there's actually a legend there about this female spirit that roams the hallways of the school. And a lot of students have mentioned hearing her and seeing her. Unfortunately, they don't like the publicity, so I can't tell you what school or what the name is, But anyway, I thought I'd let you know that. But let me go ahead and get to the cemetery story. I just moved to this town probably a month prior to this, a couple of years ago. And across the street from this cemetery is a library, and my daughter loves to go to the library. And she came over and visited, and we walked to the library. And as we were leaving, I said, let's walk over here to the cemetery and check it out. And it's an incredibly old church out front, probably, I think, the 1700s, mid-1700s. And some of the headstones there go way back, early 1800s, maybe. And I even think the original a priest and family are buried there. But anyway, I had just gotten this new phone, and I said, well, we'll record it on this here and see what we get. So we were only in there about 5 minutes or so, but the first thing we hear, just shortly after we turned it on, was a female voice, and she says, are you Tony? And a male voice sounds like either says no, like in a really mean way, or just kind of grunts at her. I'm not sure what he says, but I heard it when I played it back, and it's very clear. And I said, well, hell, I'm going back there. And I went back the next day and ran the same phone, LG phone. And cell phones, a lot of them have great recording ability on them. I mean, it's amazing what you can get. And I have no hesitation about using them in EVP sessions, good phone, cell phone. There's a lot of crickets and stuff in the background on this, and the wind was kind of blowing. So I tell everybody when they listen to EVPs, you get a really good headset and really concentrate. And the more you play it back, the more you'll hear. But anyway, I went back the next day and got incredible results. I think we exaggerate a little bit when I said 15 to 20 voices. I think it was 15 to 20 incidences, I should say. But I did get probably a good half dozen or more different voices. And odd things like kids, sound like kids screaming in a basement. Just weird stuff. But the first voice I picked up, probably within the first couple of minutes of turning on, was a male voice that says, I have to kill. And I think he says it twice. The first time is kind of mumbled, but then the second time, and it's very quick, but it's, I have to kill, like that. And the second one is really weird. I came up to a headstone. I couldn't pronounce the name on the stone. And it was like Schindler or Schindler or something like that. And I'm saying it out loud, trying to say his name. And after about three attempts, a completely different voice comes in and says Schindler. Just like, and it was a, sounded like a younger male, maybe in his teens or something. And as I moved on, and I'm not hearing this, which is frustrating. Anybody that records EVPs, if you don't have that top of the line equipment or a lot of equipment, you know, you just have a recorder, you're rarely going to hear the voice until you play it back. One of these days, I'm going to invest in some better equipment and some stuff that I can hear back immediately. The third voice I got, this was really strange. The first thing I hear is a male say power, and just a few seconds later, it sounds like a little girl, and she actually flubs it the first time she tries to say it. But the second time, it comes out very clear. She says, I have an angel. It may be I am an angel, but I've listened to this many times, and I think she's saying, I have an angel. And one of the last things I heard was just as I was leaving, I had the camera, the phone pointed to the church. And at first, I've always thought that it's just a male voice saying Isaac. But the last time I listened, I've realized it was a sentence, and he wasn't saying Isaac. He was saying, I think that's something. And I think he says, I think that's a camera, but I'm not 100% sure. But every time I listen to this thing from beginning to end, I pick up something new. And there's a lot of odd sounds going through. A lot of it, I don't know if you've ever used the phone to record, but you get kind of a brushing sometimes, like if you're moving your hands, or it's, I don't know if it's the wind or what, but you'll get some interference. So, you know, a lot of people don't have patience to listen, but if you listen, I mean, it's incredibly full of sounds and voices. So that's that story, and I've actually got an Outer Banks story that maybe I'll tell you next time I call in. But I appreciate the show. Thanks a lot. You're going to get my $5 a month very soon here. All right, thanks a lot, you guys. Take care.
I honestly think, and I don't, I mean, obviously I don't know this, but I kind of have a gut feeling. I think she was saying, I have an angel, because it's very common, especially in older headstones, and even now, for when children pass on, there to be an angel on the stone or carved into the stone, or the headstone to be the shape of an angel. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's trying to point you in the direction of who she is by saying, I have an angel.
Like, literally, not necessarily there's an angel floating around, but like there's an angel on the headstone.
Yes.
Look for this one. Like, look for the tree trunk. Or
look for the angel headstone.
Yeah. That's an interesting... You're probably right. I mean, it's probably more simplistic than we're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's common. Sometimes we overlook the simple when it comes to this. Thanks for sharing your stories with us. We do greatly appreciate that, and you'll love being an EPP. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Let's go at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to do just that. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.